Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Rees, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Dr. Larry Sen. How are you, Larry?
I'm great, Robert.
And Larry is the chairman and founder of Sen Delaney, which is part of Hydra Consulting. But really significantly, Larry is actually the father of corporate culture. I've known Larry for many years, but tell the story of how you became known as the actual father of corporate culture.
It's been a fascination of mine my whole life, but it didn't start out that way. I came out of school with an engineering degree, an MBA, and with a professor, started a traditional consulting firm doing process improvement consulting. And what struck me as a young man was that it was easier to decide on change than to get people to change. And most organizations were a bit like dysfunctional families. They had politics, turf issues, resistance to change, hierarchy, all these phenomena that got in our way. My epiphany came when we got a reputation in the area of supply chain. And a guy named Sam, a little town called Bentonville, at Walmart, or a small regional retailer at the time, decided he had a purpose of bringing low-cost goods to rural America. And he put together a dream team and asked my partner and I, Jim Delaney, to help work on this process, to take the cost out of the process from the manufacturer to the customer, then have his happy box with the greeter. That was Sam, and he was an evangelist about that. It was the most rewarding, satisfying, successful thing I'd done in my life up to that point. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a wonderful company to work in at that time on this process. People were purpose-driven. They were collaborative. They were innovative. They were creative. They were selfless. They were purposeful. All those things. A little bit later, we were hired by Woolworth to do the same thing. It was an abysmal failure. It didn't work at all. And I remember when I'd fly into New York from Bentonville, I'd go to meet with the senior team, and it was just a bunch of old guys, and it seemed like their only purpose was to maintain the status quo. And they had resistance to change, turf issues, territory, lack of trust. And I said to myself, boy, that little company in Bentonville's going to take over the world, and this big one's going to die. And they didn't teach me this in school, because this was in the early 70s when this happened. I decided I wanted to understand what was that phenomenon that created the difference between those two experiences with Sam and with Woolworth. And I found a professor at USC who had written a book called Readings in Organizational Character, because the word culture didn't exist at that time. And I went to him, I said, Professor Wolf, I really have to understand this. It determines more than anything else success or failure of organizations. He said, well, a lot of people have talked about the phenomenon. No one's ever studied it. What if we paid your way through the doctoral program? And so that began a journey, about a 6-7 year journey of studying while running Sen Delaney, the retail consulting firm. And ultimately, I published as my dissertation what was the world's first research on the concept of corporate culture. That's really part of how I got the title Father of Corporate Culture.
So, Larry, that is truly a remarkable story in the annals of history. And I'm just wondering, you would know better than anyone, where did the word actually culture then come in, and how did that word get used?
The phenomenon was given many different names. Organizational character was one of those. Climate was one of those. But people sometimes referred to culture because nations have cultures. It turns out that all organizations have cultures. And so gradually the term corporate culture came into being. I think we popularized it some. When we founded Sen Delaney in 1978, it was Sen Delaney, the culture-shaping firm. And that was really the beginnings of anyone working on culture intentionally and formally.
Yeah, so it wasn't really, I think, before then. So here is, you built that, and you were so far ahead of the game. You know, like I remember Reid Hoffman, I you know, the founder of LinkedIn, I said, how far should you be ahead of the game? And he says, 2 years so you have enough runway, but not more than that. Now, you were decades and decades ahead of anyone. But how do you really change culture? Because there are all of these, let's call it habits. And I know you have a concept about unfreezing habits. Talk about the challenges you faced in building this concept of corporate culture.
Well, two things. One is how we operated ahead of the curve, and that was there were certain industries that needed to change the dynamics of the company. Retailers, for example, wanted to have better customer service. But the industry that really got us going was the phone company and divestiture, because the old Bell phone companies, remember the CEO of Bell Atlantic saying, I can put my ear down on the railroad track, I can hear the train coming, and we aren't ready. We have a bureaucratic, slow, pondering culture organization. We've got to change that. But to your point about what changes culture, the reason it took about 7 to 8 years between when I finished my dissertation and when we founded a firm to work on culture, I was trying to answer a fairly simple but difficult question, and that is, how do you change habits of adults? And particularly, how do you change habits of CEOs and senior teams? Because the central finding of my dissertation coined the term shadow of the leader, the fact that organizations over time take on the shadow of the characteristics of their leader. And so the normal models, what I call behavioral models of defining it, like defining values and then reinforcing them, were okay, but didn't work really well. I began to say, well, what really does change people? What I was struck by is the fact that when people have significant life events that give them those epiphanies or aha moments, they change. Can be a birth of a child, can be a near-death experience, can be just something that gives you a deeper look into yourself. So I found a social scientist, a guy named Kurt Lewin, and he had this theory, and the great phrase I quote from him is this: when we're young, we're like a flowing river, and then we freeze. When we're young, we're like a flowing river, then we freeze. We all do. And he said, unless you can unfreeze people and organizations, unless you can do that. So I said, well, I'm an engineer. Why don't I engineer epiphanies around accountability, collaboration, trust, customer focus, and create some aha, a new kind of learning model or training model we call an insight-based or aha-based learning model. And that was really the foundation that Centerly was built upon, is being able to prove we can shift habits of adults.
Very exciting. Here's a question everyone wants. Before I go into another question, I have to bring something else up. So you wrote this book, The Mood Elevator. It's a fascinating concept, and it's almost like this continuum. I know it was page 7 or 8 where it has, like, you know, 20 or so different areas. Explain this concept, because I think that this has to tie into this whole concept of unfreezing habits.
Yes, so every moment of every day, we all live along this thing from the very top, gratitude, just grateful for life, to creative, curious, resourceful, interested. And then we drop down to, I know when I'm dropping down, to irritated, bothered, judgmental, self-righteous, angry, depressed. So it's this levels of feelings we have. It turns out when we're on the mood elevator, when we're at curious and above, we're at our best, top of our game. We have high emotional intelligence. We make good decisions. We listen to people. So where it came from was, while we discovered there were a series of values in all healthy organizations, like a performance value, a collaborative value, a customer value, integrity value, if people were at their very best and top of their game, they lived those values naturally. And so the first book I wrote was called Up the Mood Elevator, Living Life at Your Best. And a lifelong interest of mine is really peak performance in people, in athletes, in organizations. So how do you help people be their very best? Those times when you are top of your game, you are in flow, you are really seeing more clearly. And that's what the elevator is about, is really to help people learn. It's almost like a human dashboard, which can tell you when you're your best self. Also can tell you when you're off your game. That's when you say something to a loved one you wish you could take back or make a decision you shouldn't have made. I can guarantee you were down the mood elevator.
Your vision for the future for Larry Sand.
You know, it's funny. People ask me, when are you going to retire? I mean, I began consulting 60 years ago. Part of my dilemma is this. I say to them, how do you retire from your purpose? Everyone at Centerly has a personal purpose. My personal purpose is to help more and more people live life at their best, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. That's why I wrote the book, The Mood Elevator. That's why I do the work I do, because we touch lives. We change lives. There's a week goes by that someone hasn't said, you played a major, had a significant impact on my family, my company, my career, my life. And thank you. So, yes, I will at some point, but it's such purposeful work, so satisfying and so meaningful. My family and my purpose are really what drive me.
And there you have it. Larry, what a pleasure being with you again today.
Thank you, Robert. You know, it's great being with a like-minded change agent, because supporting CEOs is one of the most noble things we can do out there because of the leverage they have. So thank you for bringing this to the world.
We're about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask a question all CEOs are interested in, which is, why do culture initiatives fail? And we are with the one man, the father of corporate culture. So you're going to hear that. Stay tuned. In the interim, if you're on Amazon, you may want to order The Mood Elevator right quickly. Great book, and it's so practical. Back in a few.
I had thought my bowel and related organs were working well enough. I use an herbal laxative and magnesium sulfate about once a week, but my bowels had a day when they went on vacation. After the second day of using Green Meadow Way, I discovered that I was in denial about my bowel functioning. I now have 2 to 3 easy, comfortable, and healthy bowel movements a day. The same is true for my children, ages 8, 13, and 15, all of which admitted to having significantly improved bowel function when asked.
On a Google keyword search, the words constipation, stool softener, and laxative combined are searched up to 3 million times per month. Constipation is a silent epidemic in America, and most people are either in denial or do not want to admit to it. Over the years, Green Meadow Way has helped several other people have their bowels move again in an optimal manner. For the feeling of a clean intestinal tract and flat abdomen, see if Green Meadow Way can help you. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Robert Rees on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're certainly doing that today because we're with Dr. Larry Sen, who is the father of corporate culture. Worked on it in his doctorate, the first culture-shaping firm. This is back in the 1970s. And so you obviously know, Larry, more about culture than I think anyone I've ever met. And I have had literally dozens of CEOs have come to me and they're talking about the shadow of the leader, which is the idea that you came up with. And people talk about you all the time. So here's the question everyone wants to know. Right now, in 2022, everyone's focused on culture, but many initiatives fail. Why do culture initiatives fail?
I'll answer the question by talking about what it takes to succeed, and that will reveal what people miss. So we sat down after doing this work for 30 years and said, what was it that those companies did that really hit it out of the ballpark? Take a USAA, highest customer loyalty in America. What was it, company FedEx, other companies, had, what is it they did that really made the culture process work? The first principle is called purposeful leadership. It needs to be led by the CEO and senior team. So the number one failing is that it is not owned enough by the CEO. When we have a CEO who really lives it, models it, supports it, coaches to it, makes it happen in their organization, that's the number one success factor. Not having that's the reason they fail. The second principle is called personal change. Unless you change behaviors of people, because culture is merely how people behave and work together. It's behaviors of people. Unless you can find a way to change behaviors, and the method most people are using aren't doing a good enough job of changing behaviors. People are too locked into, too frozen in their being territorial or judgmental or assuming motives in others. The third principle is you have to be able to reach the whole organizations. So most organizations do not know how to take the process of culture down to, all the way from the top to the front line. And the fourth principle is focus sustainability or way of life. So they don't build it into all the things that impact culture from compensation, performance management. So they don't integrate it into the fabric and make it a living thing and a way of life. So those are the reasons they succeed, and those are the same reasons they fail.
In that, I'm thinking the mood elevator ties into that. By the way, one of the great lines I like from the mood elevator is, trust in God and tie your camel.
So the mood elevator is this. If you can just imagine, we have one hospital system actually in Memphis that has a 96% employee engagement, has amazing patient scores, and in their nurse's locker room, they have a 6-foot mood elevator with magnetic tongue depressors where they can write their name and put them on it. And so their mission is to know that people coming into the hospital are probably low, they're probably worried, and their job is to be their best, to be up the mood elevator themselves and take care of others. So it's a wonderful reminder, am I being at my best right now? Am I being curious versus judgmental? Am I being resourceful versus territorial? And so it gives you a platform of health in the organization that affects all values.
I want to shift over to the concept of reputation and legacy. So talk about what a CEO's reputation should be personally, how that ties into the reputation of the organization, and how legacy really fits in. And then you can even bring in your own legacy because you are, frankly, the father of corporate culture.
I think the most enduring legacy a leader can use is to create a healthy culture, because cultures have a life of their own. They'll go on beyond the leader to make that happen. Strategies may come and go. Processes may come and go, but the culture is the fabric of the organization, which makes it alive, which makes it succeed and fail. So the idea of really investing in people, developing people, including in creating an inclusive organization, creating a healthy organization, creating one where people are living more of the time up the mood elevator, is the greatest legacy that any leader can leave. And the greatest impact they can have on the effectiveness of people, the well-being of people, the quality of life of people, as well as the success of the organization.
If you had any final advice to CEOs on building their corporate culture, you've already given the four key principles. What would that advice be, especially when they're now having people work remotely? And it's different building a corporate culture when everyone's together than when it's a virtual company.
Yes, there's an even bigger need to try to connect to people. There's an even bigger need for leaders to be authentic, for them to really think more about the well-being of people than ever before in history. I think that's what's happened, because we're going through not only an economic shift, but a huge sociological shift right now. And so it becomes more critical than ever to really work on these things. So I'd say stay the course, but don't delegate it. Be in the mix yourself. You should need to be opening meetings, holding town halls, meeting with groups. You need to be front and center. As I know General Joe Robles, who was second in command of Desert Storm at USAA, he said, "I'm the chief culture officer." Here now, he had someone who really ran, quote, culture, but he saw his role as being the chief culture officer. And no matter how good HR and others are, they need to support the CEO, not run it for them.
And let's finally go into, you built Sendelaney, and then you became integrated in 2012 into a great firm, Heidrick & Struggles. Talk about why you did that and what specifically you are doing with Heidrick Consulting.
So it's been a wonderful marriage, because they were building capacity in the leadership parts of the organization, and we really fit in that area of being the culture-shaping group within Heidrick & Struggles, within Heidrick Consulting. Great advantages. One is we're more global today than we were. We work now in some 40 countries, have our materials in 12 languages. So we've been able to really go around the world and have offices in Singapore or Germany, wherever, which we wouldn't have had without Heidrick & Struggles. Secondly, we can bring a broader suite of capacity to clients, from search to assessment to leadership development to team development, all those to coaching. All those are things we can add on in the culture shaping process, which just makes it more robust.
What inspired you in your 80s to run a triathlon?
Well, what inspired me was my wife came to me some years ago, a couple decades ago, and said, "I have one regret. I wish I'd had another child." And the problem was she was 52 and I was 64. And the doctor said, "You can have another child." So we did. When that child came along, talk about epiphanies. I said to myself, how the heck am I going to be around to take care of this kid, to grow up with this kid, to be physically active with this kid? And I became a vegan. I took up triathlons. I did a lot of things to really in service of being a father. And so that's the story.
And there you have it. Larry, what a pleasure being with you again today.
Thank you, Robert. You know, it's great being with a like-minded change agent, because supporting CEOs is one of the most noble things we can do out there because of the leverage they have. So thank you for bringing this to the world.
If you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it, you can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000. $6,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Donato Tramuto. How are you, Donato?
I'm doing great, Robert. Thank you for having me here today.
Yeah, and Donato and I, you may remember, our last interview was actually 02-20-2020, which was February 20th, 2020, right before the whole world changed. But what Donato is going to talk about really today is world-changing concept called compassionate leadership. And I want to start off, for those who don't know him, he's actually bought and sold 49 companies, including like Nutrisystems, Silver Sneakers. But it all starts with, as we know, everyone has a unique story. And yours of adversity, to me, is really a remarkable one. I think it starts when you're 8 years old. Tell your story.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for starting off with that question, because I have a mantra in life: nobody cares what you do until they know why you do it. And I'm a product of having lost most of my hearing at age 8. And for 10 years, I had limited hearing. I had a severe speech impediment. I was bullied by friends. I was voted most likely not to succeed by my high school classmates. If you can only imagine that there was such a vote that took place. But during those years when I was bullied and denied the right to be heard, I entered into an intellectual curiosity that was really fueled by my reading books. I couldn't hear, but I did enter into this whole notion of understanding what I could be and what I could do once I had my hearing restored. And at age 17, I had about 60% of my hearing restored in my right ear and about 20% in my left ear. So I still have a very severe hearing impairment. However, I had committed myself to healthcare because I felt that much of what I had endured was a result of a medication error. And to really pile on all that, my sister-in-law, who was my speech pathologist, died 3 months after I had my hearing restored, and she died in childbirth. And it was a medication error, and she lost her life. And I made a commitment that my professional why would be a commitment to improving healthcare delivery. And for the last 40 years, it's become my passion, improving the healthcare system so that what happened to my sister-in-law would never, ever happen again. However, we all have two whys in our lives. We have our professional why and our personal why. Robert, my personal why, unfortunately, unfolded on September 11th, 2001. Like so many Americans and people across the world, that day is etched into our memory for the rest of our lives. But for me, it was a very personal loss. I was scheduled to be on United Flight 175 that hit the South Tower. Because of a toothache, I went to the dentist the day before on September 10th, and since the dentist's office was near the airport, I decided to leave on the evening of September 10th. But my two friends and their three-year-old son, who were visiting my home in Maine that weekend, I could not convince them to go out with me on September 10th, and they went out on September 11th. And unfortunately, they lost their lives when the second plane hit the South Tower. And rather than have bitterness and anger in my heart, which I think people would have understood if that's the path that I would have taken, I decided that I would launch a foundation in addition to pursuing my professional why. And so for the last 21 years, I have balanced my life between the professional and the philanthropic initiatives. And so that's my story. It's no better or no worse than you know, someone else's story, but I thank you for taking the time to listen to it. And I think that's what we need to do more of. We need to listen to the stories of other people.
And when you say people's stories matter, you have taken the horn of a leading concept called compassionate leadership. And you've done this as a practitioner in leading many companies, but also now as an academic, and as well you have your double bottom line book, which is becoming a fast, super best-selling hit. Talk about this whole concept of compassionate leadership and where it fits into the fabric of the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, listen, one of the advantages that I had as a CEO is that I sat on a number of other boards. I had my own board. I was able to assess the workplace, and what I was finding is that I was seeing too much of the old face of leadership in organizations. And this is a top-down hierarchical, the boss has all the answers. And what was revealing to me in this book, remember, we interviewed 41 global leaders, and we did a research of 1,500 Americans in the workforce. What was revealing to me and validating that the definition that we came up with on compassionate leadership, which is empathy in action, that I was actually doing that. That I could point to so many examples that rather than me coming up with the answer, I was taking the time to listen to employees, understand their life, not just from work, but their life in the home. And in interviewing these 41 leaders, we found consistency among their success was their ability to practice empathy and then to do something about it. And so, remember, the concept of this book originated 5 years ago. Robert, so much has changed. You mentioned the last time we were together in February 2020. We're hearing terms now like the great resignation. I don't think that's the right term. I think it's the great reflection. People are reflecting on their lives. They need more than just a paycheck. And maybe I was just ahead of my time. Perhaps that's what's great when you know yourself very well, that I had identified this 10 years ago, that we needed more compassion in our lives. We need more compassion in our families. We need more compassion in the workplace. And so that's why we introduced this book, The Double Bottom Line.
How did the concept implement and manifest itself when you were a CEO? And you're still with Healthy Villages. You're running that as well.
I worked with the activists, representatives, and then became chairman of the board in solving, if you will, the resolution to that suit. But then I became CEO in 2016. Rather than make the decision to just get rid of the division that wasn't making money, for 6 months, I met with the majority of the employees in the organization, nearly 2,000. By the way, Howard Schultz right now is doing the same thing with Starbucks. He's returned for his third stint. There was an article in the newspaper today. He's traveling and listening to the employees, and that's what I did. I could have shut that division down, and the market would have given me a lot of praise. No, what I did is I took 6 months. I listened to the stories of the employees. They had a better understanding of the problem than I had. And even though the market was pushing me to make a decision, I stood firm, and I said to the analysts and to Wall Street, I will make the decision once I have my data. And this is what we did. It had never been done before, at least to my knowledge today. We ended up paying a company $25 million to take the sub-performing division. I don't think, Robert, that's ever been done before. Imagine going to the board and saying to the board, you know the $1 billion you put into this division? Well, we're not even going to be able to get a penny for it. In fact, we're going to have to pay to have the division removed from the company. That was the single best decision I ever made in business. What happened the day we made the announcement? The stock doubled. The employees who were in the division that we were now moving to the other company all kept their jobs. And today, 5 years later, that division is now part of ShareCare. It's a public company, and they're doing well. And so that's compassionate leadership. I could have taken the hierarchical approach. I know what has to be done. I was chairman of the board. I'm going to do it my way. No, I took the time, and guess what? I gained confidence and trust from the entire employee population. So there's a great example. My favorite philosopher, Yogi Berra, once said, you don't want to make the wrong mistake. You're going to make mistakes in your personal and professional life. Try to avoid making the wrong mistake. And that was a great example of us avoiding making the wrong, you know, decision.
Well, it's wonderful having you on the CEO show. And now we're about to take a commercial break, and we'll be back in a few.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, It works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and we're here today with Donato Tramuto. I have to ask you here, it sounds like if someone was to say compassionate leadership, it's really weak. You clearly do not believe that.
I do not, and let me tell you why. I actually think it's a very strong mantra for leadership. But we introduce a concept in the book which is very important. It's called the three T's. In order to practice compassionate leadership, you've got to start off first with tenderness. That's the first T. To get the second T, which is trust. And the third T is tenacity. Too many leaders start off with tenacity and they go around with a pooper scooper. They don't have the trust. That's what Howard Schultz is doing right now. He's traveling and gaining the trust by listening to understand. And so you can still be tough. I had to make a lot of tough decisions as a CEO. However, my first approach was to gain the trust by being tender. And the only way you can be tender is by taking the time and listening to the stories of the people that make up your organization.
Let's talk about Healthy Villages. Mm. When you founded that, and now, what is the role of that? And what is the role of non-for-profits in building this new world of compassionate leaders?
Well, let's go back to a great question. Let's go back to why I founded it. And it really does support the definition of compassionate leadership that we extracted from all the interviews. Compassionate leadership is empathy in action. In 2011, I was reading an article that in our lifetime, 1 billion people will go to their graves prematurely because they did not have access to a healthcare worker. 6 million are children who will die each year because they had no access to medication, to a healthcare worker, or to clean water. Now, Robert, some of my colleagues said to me, this is not your problem. I disagree. And I'll tell you why I disagree. Article 25 of the Declaration of Human Rights states that healthcare is a basic right for every single person. And when one person doesn't have access, we have violated that right. So rather than me just showing empathy, I did something. I launched Healthy Villages. And the results have been amazing. And by the way, we brought it into the company. Employees were enamored by the fact that they could also work and volunteer in the not-for-profit arm that we had in the company. Today, we have lowered infant mortality in a small village in Africa from 100 babies dying per 1,000 births, it's down to 15. 80 more babies per 1,000 live births are now alive today because of Healthy Villages. And that has put a soul in the company that I was working in at the time. I brought it over to Healthways and Tivity Health. It really brought a sense of purpose. And so that's the double bottom line. You can be profitable and you can do good.
So what you are saying really for a CEO, that it's not just about being compassionate and having empathy, but this is actually at the core, the systemic core of what your strategy, what your culture should be.
There's 41 global leaders, and whoever reads the book will recognize a number of the leaders. Katie Couric, Senator Bill Frist. We have Bruce Broussard, the CEO at Humana. Alex Gorsky, the chairman CEO of J&J. And so it's not the definition according to Donato. We spent hundreds of hours of interviewing and understanding what did these leaders do well. that had a sustainable and consistent result. And by the way, they did not put culture first. What they put first was gaining trust, and then they addressed the culture, and then they addressed the strategy. It's all backwards now. We're going after the strategy first and the culture, and we don't have the trust. And so I have to tell you that watching what Howard Schultz is doing, watching what all these other leaders are doing, really warms my heart that we are not off the course of what we're saying in the book. Try to get the trust first and then go after the culture and go after your strategy.
Yeah, I remember when George Halverson, the CEO of Kaiser Permanente, we were talking years ago, and he said, Robert, culture eats strategy for breakfast, but you would say trust eats culture for breakfast. What is the first step that a CEO should take to build trust?
Well, it's very funny because you and I did not talk before this interview, and that's what I'm basically conveying to folks that I'm speaking to right now, and that is trust eats culture and strategy for breakfast. Right on. The first thing you have to do is to listen. And I'm not saying listen to react. Too many of our leaders listen to react. They go through the motions, and they already jump to the answer before the individual has shared the entire story. You really have to listen to understand. And let me give you some examples. When I had these meetings before I made the decision about what to do with that division, I took notes. I put my cell phone down. I never looked at my cell phone when I was interviewing and talking to these individuals. And after the meeting, I wrote a thank you note. I summarized what I thought I had heard in the conversation. By the way, I had a few people come back to me and say, that's not what I said. And you've got to validate to make sure you're getting the information. There is too much what I call distractions taking place in our interactions today. We're not taking the time to really listen fully. Let me give you an example. Every time I have a dinner at my home for a group of people, I always ask a question at the dinner table. And this just happened 2 weeks ago. I asked the question of, who would you have loved to have become? Name a famous person you would have loved to have been. Well, somebody mentioned a name, and immediately somebody reacted to it. They didn't give the person a chance to explain why they wanted to be like that person. So think about it, Robert. In our business, in our political arena, in our society, we're attacking people. We're not taking the time to fully understand why they might believe or maintain this respective philosophy. And that's the first thing a leader has to change, is that we are listening to react. We're not listening to understand. And we give a whole chapter on how to do it. And when your listeners pick up the book, they'll have some really good insights on how to do it.
And there you have it, Donato. A true joy. I love the interviews you have because you tell it like it is. You speak directly, authentically from your heart. Just great speaking with you again.
My thanks to you for taking the time and conducting this interview.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.